This insert is brought to you by Radio Cape Pulpit on 7 to 9 a.m. Visit us on www.capepulpit.co.za.
You have just tuned into Radio Cape Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. I am your host for the next hour with my program called Body Matters, where everybody in the body of Christ matters. This program is to give ministries a platform to share what they are doing in the body of Christ. I believe that the body of Christ all works together to accomplish the same goal, and I believe that the goal is to save, heal, and deliver, and to see people walk in the fullness of Christ. I really trust that this program is going to bless you. My name is Alana Willifee, and I have a special guest. And my guest today is Zoe van der Merwe Grobler, and she is from Zoe Life Ministries. So welcome, Zoe.
Thank you, Alana.
So nice to have you. I just want to say that Zoe means life. And Zoe also has a prophetic mandate, and our topic of discussion will be the gift of prophecy. So I just want to share a little bit about Zoe. She has been walking in the prophetic mandate since 2008. She has a Bible school for about 10 years. She's also been doing some outreaches via drama with some of the students at the Bible school. She's been hosting ladies' prophetic camps, and that's particularly regarding to the prophetic. And she's currently also busy with a prophetic workshop that we will be discussing shortly. But before we do that, I just want Zoe just to tell us a little bit about her journey. So yeah, Zoe, tell us a little bit about you and your journey.
Lana, I'm just Zoe. You know, I'm a mother of two beautiful children. I'm a grandmother of two little ones. And God has chosen me to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I absolutely love Him for who He is. I love His gifts and His way that He speaks to humanity. He just loves on us. But the starting point in my life when I was growing up in Coles River on a farm, in a normal Afrikaans family with siblings and parents in the house. But you know, the front vision looked like everything was nice and okay. Happy family. But it wasn't like that in the four walls at the back of closed doors. My father was, unfortunately, at that time of his life in the occult. And, you know, growing up under that oppression and the atmosphere, it is demonic atmosphere constantly. But the Lord intervened in my life when I was 9 years old. A girl from the opposite farm came to visit me, and we played, and she was finished and was on her way home, and I wasn't finished playing yet. So I grabbed her, you won't believe it, I really grabbed her in her ponytail, and I pushed and I pulled her back into the house, and she turned around and she said to me the following: if Jesus would have turned his cheek to the other side and then slap on his cheek. And the minute she said that to me, I burst out in tears.
Sure.
Now, you must remember, I, at that stage, 9 years old, never went to church because of the belief in the home. I was in a state because that words somehow, it penetrated my flesh and it went immediately into my spirit.
Sure.
And Lana,
that double-edged sword cutting through marrow and bone.
Yes, Hebrews 4:12, yes. Exactly. And that little girl led me that day to the Lord.
Sure.
Also 9 years old. And that's how my spiritual journey actually started. And then, you know, I'm 9 years old. I think way back then it was like a grade 3 that would be now. And so We didn't go to church. I didn't had a Bible. You know, your grandparents' big Bible that was on the sideboard.
Black one.
Yeah, with the gold pages, yes. The beautiful. Nobody was ever allowed to touch it except the Dominie.
That was the antique piece.
Yes, and when the Dominie comes visit once a month, you know, he opens up the Bible and blah, blah, blah. And when I was in standard 6 or grade 8, my brother who was in the army, he got his first girlfriend. And she came alongside in with a family and she asked me, what would you like to have for your birthday? And I said, a Bible.
Sure.
So when I was like 14 years old, I got my first Bible. And I still do have that Bible, the Afrikaans Bible. And I immediately fell in love with the Psalms. Mm. Oh, I love the Psalms David wrote and all the other people that wrote the book of Psalms. And that was my safe haven. And, you know, at that time, we were still living on the farm and getting to church was like 8 kilometers from the town. And then I desperately wanted to go. I wanted to be in the church. And then I thought, okay, well, I can walk. So on a Sunday morning, I walk 8 kilometers to church.
That's far.
And back. If the farmers would even dare to pick me up for a lift, my father would be horrible to them. So I choose to get the beatings coming back home. And I mean, these things happen in the 1980s.
And you went alone?
Yes,
okay.
Yes, yes.
Sure.
At that stage, I had a little brother that was 7 years younger than me. So then I asked him later on just to come walk with me to town. And he did.
Wow.
So he also came to church in that time period. So that was my starting point. So I had to fight for my belief from my inner circle where I was supposed to be loved and allowed to love the Lord. But just for the listeners to know that my father did give his heart to the Lord. So that's so exciting that the enemy lost his grip that at that time he had over my father. Someday we're going to rejoice with one another.
And reunite.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, yes.
We'll be back with a short break. I am with Zoe Vanemuyve Grobler, and we're on the topic of discussion, the prophetic. Zoe, I just want to ask you, how did Zoe's life start? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Lana, Zoe Life Ministry started out in 2006, 2008. I started with a prophetic school. That was my first mandate that I felt the Lord laid on my heart. But prior, before the starting up of the name Zoe Life, I just need to quickly take you back to growing up. In 91, I was in matric, and that was our going away. At that stage, we went on a church camp in 1991, and we were in Stellenbosch on this amazing whole week, a seven-day like a retreat camp for high school pupils and or matric pupils. And there I was, and one of the ministers who had his session, he ministered about inner healing. And, you know, for me, that was the first encounter I ever had with what is inner healing and what is the blood of Jesus and the power. So that was my first encounter with these words. And so after the session, the Lord ministered to me, and I was emotionally, and so after the session, I just excused myself and I went to a seclusion in a private place, and I just started to pray, and I was praying for my mom that's at home, and you know when the roles are being exchanged, you become the mother, try to take care and comfort her, because in the environment that I grew up, my mom was also there, and she was also under the influence. She was never ever with my father in his doings, but she was in the house.
And obviously that spirit of control and manipulation and
the fear.
The fear of Lana, confrontation.
And you are so fearful for the weekends to come. Because you don't know what is going to happen, but you know something bad, it is going to happen. And then every weekend, it was not a good weekend. So forth. But back on the Stellenbosch farm where I prayed, I promise you, I never knew the things existed. So as I was praying and I was praying for my mum, the next moment I saw Psalm 91 like written on a piece of paper right in front of my eyes.
Like a vision.
A vision, but I could literally see. And the scriptures that the Lord emphasized on stood out like in black bold letters.
Wow.
And as I read the scripture, the verse, I could see, I could literally see without looking to my, say, for example, the right side, there was a lot of trees. I could even hear the arrow comes like,
wow.
Like the wind with the speed. And the scripture boldly stood out in the midair in front of my eyes, just saying that the Lord will put an hedge of angels around those who fear his name. I could even saw the angel standing like encircling around me on this at this table that I sat down. The arrow that flies by day will not hurt you. I saw that
Psalm
arrow.
Psalm 91.
The verses out of the Psalm, it stood out that the arrow that flies by day. I saw the arrow without turning my head and looking. I saw it coming in. And I could feel the impact of the arrow hitting the angel because I fell forward on the table. Just me there, sitting in the middle of the afternoon praying, and that whole thing rolled out and happened. And then the next second, I heard Father's audible voice. That was the second time that I heard it. If I can look back, I can say when I was 3 years old, I heard his audible voice, not knowing or understanding at that stage. So for that moment, and the only thing that I heard with my ears, a voice that told me, go be baptized.
Wow.
Let your sins be washed off of you.
Amen.
And really, Lana, I didn't know there was any other baptism except the little baby baptism, what I went through. And there the prophetic was activated.
Established,
exactly, through that vision, through that experience. And then after that, that was in 91, and then a new level of intimacy with the Lord started out. And I went back to the building, and I was speaking to the pastor there, and I was explaining him what happened. And I thought, okay, the children of God, everyone sees and hears. And afterwards, I come to the understanding it's not everybody that have the ability. And it's not an ability. It's just the Lord allowing me in that moment
for to experience him.
Yes, because he wants to establish his kingdom mandate for me on this earth.
Sure.
My purpose, my destiny for his kingdom's sake.
Sure. That is amazing. And I think, you know what, some people have experiences in different way, and I think God reveals himself and to people in different way too. I think the main reason he does is so that we know that God is real.
Yes.
He is a real God.
Yes.
I mean, there are certain things that I've prayed for, and then someone would literally just say something and I'll go, oh, God, you are real, you know. So it's just God revealing himself at that time, at that moment.
Yes.
Zoe, tell me, what is the prophetic mandate for the church for this time? Because you've got the prophetic gifting and you're obviously busy with the prophetic. So what do you feel is the mandate for the church?
Yes, that is a thing that is very strong on my heart for the season we are currently in 2021. I believe the mandate for the prophetic, it's the lifestyle of John the Baptist.
Okay.
I absolutely believe
Amen.
That.
I believe that too.
Yes. And what did John do on the earth? He was preparing the way of the Lord.
Yes.
So now we also, this is our mandate as well. The fivefold ministry, not even only the prophetic, but the evangelist, the prophet, the apostle, the teacher, the pastor, everyone involved in the kingdom, that needs to be the mandate. But the second thing that we as the prophets needs to understand and be busy now with, it's preparing the people for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
So those two things, it stands out for me. It's prepare the way of the Lord and prepare the people for the coming of the Lord.
Yes.
And in that last sentence, I believe that there's many avenues how we, everyone can work together in unity in the body to prepare the people. Because all our giftings, what you have, you bring. What I have, I bring.
Yes, that's and the that's, body of Christ.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Everybody coming together.
It comes together.
And all their functions lead to one thing.
Yes, back to Father God.
Back to Father God.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I strongly believe that He sent us from heaven with a vision and a mandate and a purpose, and it's our privilege. Oh, it's a privilege to live that out, to give back to Father God what He's given us.
And I think also coming back to that also makes me think that every one of us, every Christian, every one, God has created us with a purpose, with a mandate, with gifts, and with our gifts to fulfill the calling and the purpose that He has for our lives.
Yes.
And as the body of Christ, we work together as an organism to fulfill that, as I say, to heal, to restore, to deliver, to bring people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think that is our purpose of our existence, you know. And I think once you fulfill the calling and you know where you fit into the body of Christ, I think it's so rewarding to know that God can use you in your gifting. And when you flow in your gifting, it's always effortless. You know, He equips you and he helps you and He guides you to where you're supposed to be.
Yes, that's so true. If you look at the scripture in Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says that God, before the laying of the foundation of the earth, He ordained your journey. He put everything in place for you to come stumble across your pathway, to come into that. The pre-arranged, He made it ready for us to live. So I want to live in that what He pre-arranged for me to live.
Yes. And I think just to add, this is just what comes to mind. You know, sometimes we are in, you know, we come from broken backgrounds, or we go through hardship, and, you know, we don't always understand things, you know. And I believe even God has put you in a family. He has surrounded you with the right people at the right time. You are not at the wrong place. You are in the right place. The people that God surrounds you with shapes you, molds you to get where you need to get. And sometimes hardship is a learning phase to strengthen us. I mean, God doesn't bring hardship, but He allows us sometimes to go through it so that He can strengthen our character.
Yes, that's so true. That's so true. If I would look back in my old journey, my own journey and my growing up years, that was a training ground to be a warrior in the kingdom, because I learned how to pray. I really learned how to pray.
And how to depend on God.
And how to depend. You know, if I can quickly go back there again in the early days, I was angry with the Lord for giving me such a father. I remember many moments I tell the Lord, I hate my dad.
Sure.
And it was out of a heart of a girl that felt neglected. And you know what the Lord, every time he let me in prayer and He just love on me, and then He said to me every time, forgive him.
Sure.
And that was hard, being a teenager, being a young adult, and receiving all the things negative, and everything that happened in those time zones. And then the Lord said, forgive him, for I love him.
Yes.
And to come to the understanding that my father was created in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Father God loved him the same way He loved me.
Yeah.
Being
he
His
he doesn't
now.
Have a, you know, no. He doesn't have favorites.
No, He doesn't have that. And that was the most, and that was my key of breakthrough. It is to learn. My training ground was hard, but to learn in those seasons to love the ungodly.
Yes, to die to self.
Exactly, to love those who actually hurt you and betray you and that come against. I mean, we all come from Ephesians 2 verse 2 that says we were, before we were saved, under the sway and the tendency of the present demonic force that is in the present age, it's the Satan himself. We were under his authority until we became saved and sanctified, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So that's the past we all come from. But nevertheless, the Lord loves the saved as much as the unsaved.
That's that whole scripture with love your enemies, bless them.
Bless those who curse
you. Pray for them.
Yes.
Treat them well. And you know, that's spiritual warfare,
you know?
Oh. When we have to do what's so hard, when we have to forgive others, when we have to do good to them.
Yes.
And I believe God does it because I believe that is for our own, so that we don't have a hardened heart.
Yes.
Because when we have a hardened heart, God cannot work with a hard heart.
He can't.
And also, when we love our enemies, we are also, we become God's hands and feet.
Yes, we do.
For someone that is unlovable. And so that is also amazing. And that scripture that comes to mind that says, whatever the devil intends for harm, God will work for your good.
Amen.
And someone put on a Facebook page the other day, added to this scripture. And I don't even know where it stands right now because I'm just talking what comes to mind. But he says, it will even make the devil work for you so that you've got authority at the end of the day. But Zoe, just briefly, just like one quick sentence, how did Zoe life start?
Okay, so the Lord gave me a dream about handing out mantles and shoes. And that happened the 3rd of March, 2003, when I had my first heavenly encounter. And I know we don't have time to go into all the details, but I just had an amazing visitation. And a dream connected with that specific visitation that day. And I know that the Lord was showing me, he's going to show me people's mantles and the shoes.
And just tell people quickly, what does the shoes mean?
The shoes, it is the heart of going out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, meaning the calling that God has called you for. You've got a set of shoes and you've got your own kind of mantle.
Amen.
And I cannot put the mantle on you. I can only be in the spirit. I can see the mantle that God already put on you, and you receive your mantle when the day that you have been born. You just grow into that mantle, spiritual mantle. And then I knew that the Lord was calling me to be the voice in the wilderness to help people to come to the understanding that they have a mantle, that they have a pair of shoes, and they need to see it, receive it, take it.
Yes.
And
take ownership with it and run with that purpose that God has given them.
Yes.
Thank you, Zoe. And then I just want to ask you this question because I think everybody is curious about how do people actually flow in the prophetic? You know, how does the prophetic work? Because not everybody is prophetically inclined. So what is the prophetic and how does one apply the prophetic practically in everyday life? If you can give us some examples on that.
Yes, Lana, the prophetic and the fivefold ministry combined, but especially the prophetic, it comes from out of a place of a relationship with the Lord. Nothing flow without that. That's the basics. That's the starting point of having your life committed to the Lord, laying down your own desires, your own life, your own plans. I had many plans for my life and nothing worked out as I've planned it because God had something else in mind for me. So the prophetic, if you think about that, God is spirit. He's in the heavenly atmosphere, in the spiritual dimension. We are on earth. Where God is, there's no time limits. There's no end of a month. There's no 7-day week. There's no clock. There's nothing. It's timeless. But here on earth, we are submitted to time and end of a month and a 7-day week and so forth. Now, God is releasing a word out of the supernatural atmosphere. That word's carries come down into a heart of a person through a vision, through an audible voice, through a prompting of the spirit, a knowing in your heart that I just need to release this, a vision, a picture, or the way that God speaks to us. So now that word comes forth. And now here on the 18th of March, for example, 3:00 in the afternoon, the word comes, the inclination, the prompting, and there everything has been set out. Now there's a release of that vision, picture, word, what you hear. And then there's a release. And then that scripture that says that whatever God sends out, it will accomplish.
Yes.
It will not
Isaiah.
Yes. It will not return void and back to the Lord, void to the Lord. Mm. And that's the prophetic. Mm. That's the release of what God is speaking over and even over a nation.
And I also think that, you know, when you get a prophetic word, that is God saying, this is my heart for you.
Yes.
This is what I've called you for. This is, this is my purpose for you. And you know, sometimes it's so nice to get that prophetic word because you know, sometimes you think, okay, oh, God could just tell me audibly, but God always spoke through the prophets. Eh? The prophets are God's mouthpiece.
Yes.
And that's his heart he's sharing with you.
Yes, definitely. And you know, when God is releasing a word, you have to war over your own prophetic word.
Mm.
And sometimes in the body, we don't being taught, what do I do now with my prophetic word?
Mm.
Because the enemy wants you to have a miscarriage of your word.
Yes.
I mean, not to put any emphasis on him, but we have to know who the enemy is and how to warfare about your word. So how do you warfare about your given prophecy?
Mm.
You read it constantly.
Mm.
You remind Father God.
Yes.
He knows it. He doesn't need the reminder, but every time you speak that to God, you remind yourself in the process.
And your faith grows.
Yes.
And your faith grows because you start hearing, because faith comes from hearing the word of God. So
Amen.
You're proclaiming it.
You do exactly that. And then you start to believe that. You look out. Mm. You say, Lord, I cannot wait for this fulfillment of this word. Do you know my first prophetic word was the 28th of February in 98. In 98, my first prophetic word, and it was through this lovely lady, she's very well known, my beloved friend, Rose Ruder.
Mm.
And I mean, she just prophesied. And back then, we had to type out, you know, the little types, the little things of the technology way back then. I've had a full typed out piece of prophecy on papers, four pages. And the word only started to come into fulfillment 10 years later.
I want to just say that sometimes we get a prophetic word and we think it's for now.
Yes.
But it's not always for now.
For that reason, I just spoke about in the spirit, God releasing the word on earth. And now there needs to be time that goes by for the fulfillment of that word. And what I and you do in the meantime, for the time to go, because many things needs to happen, I need to grow.
Mm.
I need to step up my responsibility.
Yes.
I need to come in alignment with the word of God.
Mm.
So maybe I'm still busy with the deliberate sin and I don't want to let go of that. And God's word is pure and holy. So I need to go through a process of purity, deliverance and healing and inner healing, powerful inner healing. And so the stuff needs to happen.
Mm.
So for that word to eventually be my portion, so I have to pray over my word, warfare over it, be awakened over my word, looking out for the fulfillment of the word of God.
And I also believe that during the time of waiting for that word to come through, God equips you.
Yes.
And I also, in my own experience, believe when you get to that point, you're so excited about the prophetic word. You really want to almost brag about it.
Yeah.
But by the time it actually happens, you're like, okay, whatever, God. You know, you surrender. It's no more like, it's not about me anymore.
Yeah,
it's like, God, whatever you want me to do.
Yeah.
And I also, I remember, just to add to what you're saying, I mean, talking about time that God actually fulfills that prophetic word. I mean, I got a word in 2015 that I would be on social media.
Sure.
I thought, no, this can't be. I can't even type on a computer or, you know, my kids are so much better on all these things. I am not on Twitter or Instagram or any. I don't even know how to get on these things. And eventually, here I am. God had fulfilled it. And it's like, okay, it all comes bit by bit together when you least expect it, but you hold on to it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And you say, whatever it is, God, you know, you don't always know in which form or way
that's so true.
It will happen.
No. And if you can just think back and think, okay, if that prophetic word that was spoken in 2015, the next month, 4 weeks later, it would have come and you will start to walk in it, you would have messed everything up.
Yes, because you weren't mature enough, you weren't ready enough,
exactly.
Or you would have taken the honor and glory for yourself.
Yes, you'll become prideful and arrogant. Mm. And that's the very things that we need to repent of and be aware not to fall into that things that the enemy wants us to fall into, because then it is enslaving us again.
And also just another question. I know when you get a prophetic word, is it important to test that word?
Oh, definitely. The word says that it's biblical to test every word. Yes,
and
definitely.
And how would you go about testing that word? Is it just you lay it before the Lord and you trust Him to give you confirmation?
You pray for confirmation, but you firstly check with, is this word biblical? Mm. If that word is in contradiction with the word of God, just dismiss it immediately.
Mm.
So you need, and ask the Lord for discernment. I mean, this Holy Spirit is with us, is in us.
Yes.
And He will give you the check in your heart. You know, you will have that, I don't know if this is my word or if this is actually, is this biblical?
Yeah.
You will have that awareness.
Sense of knowing.
You will have that.
And someone also said to me, and this is also very true for the prophetic, that sometimes God already gave you a word. In your own mind, in your own thoughts, you already know. And then someone will give you something that will confirm what God already has given you. And I think that's just the amazing confirmation, because you already know it. But then when someone comes along and says, I feel like God said whatever it is. Mm. And that to me is just amazing confirmation. Then you know, that was word from
that's
God.
That's the beauty of the prophetic, because the prophetic is all, if I would give you a prophetic word, it will immediately be a second-handed word, because God already downloaded something in your heart that you can connect to what I'm going to say to you, that you can open up your heart. Because, you know, when you stand before people and you minister to them, on the receiving side, people can zip their hearts, they can close their hearts, or they can unzip it and receive it. And when you minister to someone and you say something that they think, oh, only the Lord knows this, then what happens? They zip their heart open so they receive it. And many times we prayed for people and we could see that they're not receiving it. And that's, there's many reasons why people are afraid of the prophetic. And maybe they got hurt or they've been disappointed and many other reasons. But you can actually experience and feel in the spirit when that happens in that moment.
And I think also with the prophetic that people are scared of is that you're going to reveal something bad they did. Or you're going to open up something. But the prophetic, I know, is always to encourage.
Yes.
It's always to encourage.
Yes.
The prophetic is to see how God sees you.
Exactly.
No matter what you've done, no matter your flaws, God had already given you a plan and a purpose, and all He wants to do is to get the gold out of you.
Exactly.
And therefore, prophetic is always encouraging. Am I right by saying that?
100%
it's not,
correct.
Oh, you're going to die tomorrow and whatever.
No.
That's not from God. Because
that's
only
a false spirit.
That's
a familiar spirit then that operate there.
Okay, so anything that's condemning and negative, would you say false prophecy?
Yes, definitely.
I think we need to clear that,
Many times the Lord will give a warning, but I always say that the prophetic words needs to be wrapped in love, because God loves on His people.
Yes.
And if He would chastise us, because that's a biblical that says that I will chastise my children.
Yes.
But in that chastisement, He will always bring out the beauty.
Yes.
He knows that I am sinning. I know I've got faults, but He will not put the emphasis on that.
Yeah.
But I will say to you and speak to you, and I will put the emphasis on what you've just did wrong.
Yeah.
And God is the opposite.
Yes.
He will speak to the mandate. He will speak to the potential inside of you.
He's calling out the good in you.
Yes.
You know, because that is what He wants. He's looking for the goal that He already placed in you.
Oh, definitely.
To bring that out.
Yeah. So true.
Just shortly, Zoe, I just want to quickly just share some testimonies. I mean, people want to hear, you know, where you've been involved giving people prophetic words and stuff like that. Can you share anything that stood out, even if it's just one or two testimonies?
Yes. Yeah, if we had enough time, I would really roll out a lot of testimonies. But the most recent one was actually yesterday. I have a friend who's been sick a little while. She had four operations in 4 days.
Sure.
And it was not that crazy time in her life, but it was just like things happened. It just her organs just started to fail. And she was really praying for, and a lot of people interceded for her, and so forth. And I didn't make contact with her because you can't visit people right now in hospitals, blah, blah, blah. So from a distance, I prayed for her. You know, when yesterday afternoon, she's now more than a month in the hospital, in different hospitals. Mm. And yesterday I felt the prompting of the Spirit, and I prayed and I experienced the Lord say to me, phone her mum and you two together pray for her and then take this thing to the court of heavens.
Sure.
So yesterday afternoon, just a simple prayer, me on this side of the phone and through a WhatsApp call, I phoned her mum. And we just prayed, you know, prayed. Mm, and we took this whole thing to the courtrooms. And this morning, her mom phoned me and said that a miracle happened to her. After a month, she's going to be released tomorrow to go back home.
Wow.
That really, for me, is...
That is amazing.
Wow. The power of prayer,
yes,
when God leads you.
Mm.
When the prompting comes for right now. So in the prayer, we ask the Holy Spirit for Jesus' blood to testify against whatever was happening to her and strip the enemy of his plan and his mandate and his nonsense over her. And that immediately, I mean, less than 24 hours, there was a change, a miraculous change. So that was amazing. So there was many, many, you know, on this last December holiday, which no one actually went on holiday, I went to the shop and I thought, okay, I'm going to buy my son, who is 22, still lives with me, and he works for a company, so he can work from home, international company, but he doesn't have his own vehicle, so he's driving with my car.
Okay.
So most of the time I need to ask him, can I have my car back? So, but this last December, I went to the shop and I felt like, buy Joshua car washing stuff, shampoo and sponges and stuff. And I thought, why? You know, and immediately I thought like, it's a prophetic action because he's going to have a car.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, I will not be able to help him with that. And he's not have that kind of a salary to go, you know,
to purchase a car.
Not at all. I did that. I bought the stuff and I said to him, don't laugh at me, but I just felt I'm just going to buy this and that. 3 days later, a friend of his, the grandfather, was selling this car for next to nothing.
Oh, wow.
It is the month of March. Yes. In February, he bought the car.
Sure. And you heard right.
Yeah.
And that was a step of faith. Faith without works is dead.
Exactly. Yes. So that was like, whoa. You see, when the prompting is put into action and then you see the flow and the rollout.
Fruit. Wow.
And I believe that the prophetic, it's not only for a Sunday morning in church. Mm. It is for everyday, day-to-day stuff and lives. And yeah, we prayed for many people to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We prophesied that the spirit man will come to the fourth and the tongue will be loosened and they will just start to speak.
Yes.
And then nothing happened. But later when they were in the shower, all alone, when they were asleep at night, they woke up and then the words just flowing out of their mouths. Many, many testimonies about how God is working when your brain, your logic activity is not on.
And I think sometimes we all just need to, we're all prophetic. Everybody that is a child of God is prophetic because he says we have the mind of Christ.
We do.
And we just need to tune into that still, quiet voice.
Yes.
God speaks to us all the time, even through bumper stickers, through people, through songs, through even looking at someone and you see something and God can tell you so much about that person.
Yeah.
So I think there's so many ways that God speaks to us, but we don't always listen.
Yes.
But anyway, we are going to have a short break right now. But after this break, we are going to give Zoe's details away and give it to you. And we also are going to go in a bit of an intercession prayer. So stay tuned. Welcome back to my program, Body Matters. And we are in the studio with Zoe
and Zoe is chatting about the prophetic. Zoe, I just tell us a little bit about, I remember I told the audience that you are doing online prophetic workshops. Can you tell us briefly about the workshop so that if anybody wants to connect or get involved, they can contact you?
Yes. Lana, on this stage, every 5 weeks, I'm hosting a workshop, prophetic activation workshop, for anybody who would love to know more about the prophetic, to flow in it, to practical apply the gift that God has given us. So that's on the Google Meet platform on every Thursday. I'm currently in a 5-week course, and the next course will start at the 15th of April on the Thursday.
Okay.
For 5 weeks. So
okay, wonderful.
The topics of discussion, normally it is about intimacy. It's growing in your gift. It's how to recognize. I believe in the law of recognition, to really recognize this what I'm doing my whole life. Oh, actually, this is the prophetic. Mm. This is not, this called many other names, but this is actually the prophetic. And it also, it's the emphasis is always on like John, the disciple of Jesus, who had this close relationship with the Lord, and where they were in a trust relationship. That's very important for me. It's to trust the Lord with my life.
And tell me, if I want to join your group and I say, oh, I don't have a prophetic gift, can I still join?
Oh, definitely. It's especially for those who doesn't exactly know right now what their purpose nor their destiny is for their life. And am I prophetically inclined? What does it mean to be? So, yeah, there's a lot of topics.
Okay.
And it's an hour session that we do have weekly. And beyond that hour session that we all come on the same platform, in the midweek, there's also teachings that I do give. And I really journey with all the individuals, pray for them. I really get involved in people's lives.
Okay.
I believe in building relationships with people.
And also walking alongside people. That's part of it. That's discipleship.
Yes, that's so true.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so if anybody is interested and you really want to get involved and know more about the prophetic, you can email Zoe at zoe@zolife.co.za. It's zoe@zolife.co.za. But Zoe is going to pray for us now, and I'm going to leave the mic in Zoe's capable hands, and she is going to flow with the Spirit. So just stay tuned.
Thank you, Father, that we can come in this day and in this hour and ask, Father, will you touch our hearts? Will you touch our hearts? Will you move exactly as you choose? Father, I thank you for the waves of your anointing flowing right now to each and every listener. Father, though that person who just put the radio on this last minute, who just came to listen, I pray that you will impact them. Father, they, in the Spirit, there's no distance. In the Spirit, Father God, there's no distance between me and all the people that are hearing this message. I pray for those who doesn't know you yet, Lord, that they will come. Isaiah 55 verse 1 to 3 says, those who are thirsty, without money, without buying, come eat, come drink from the living well of water. Come, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will draw them to your throne of grace. Draw them, Lord, to you. Father, will you, just for those who are feeling hopeless, those who have, who run out of plans and run out of ideas, that you will minister to them. I thank you, Father, that you are going to bless a Gideon. There's a man with the name of Gideon, and God says, do not divorce your wife. Do not turn your back on your family and walk away. I have a plan and I have a purpose. I'm stripping the enemy of his rule and reign and his mandate that he plays out in your life. Do not listen. Gideon, I want to call you out this hour, and I want to say, open your ears to the Spirit of God and do not listen to the lies of the enemy. Father is delivering you right now, and he's setting a new platform for you. There's a new pathway and a new road for you. Walk in it. Be full of joy in Jesus' name. Father,
Amen.
I thank you for your mighty hand of approval over your children. I call out the leaders that have grown weary and tired in the last couple of months and the seasons and all the distresses. And Father, I pray that we will shake our, it's like the dust off our feet and off of our hands. I pray that we all will turn our face toward you, toward heaven, toward the promises of God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that the prophetic gift will ignite in people's lives. I pray that spirits, Father, right now, Father, will be ignited. The spirit man will be stirred up through the gifting and the word of prophecy, the stirring up, Lord, of your mandate in their lives. Father, I pray for hopelessness to be gone in Jesus' name. I pray against the spirit of fear that tries to steal and destroy so many lives. We acknowledge the hand of God in this moment in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I pray that you will saturate each and every listener right now. Put your arms around them. Wrap your arms around them right now. Father, fill the houses. Change the atmosphere in the houses in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your divine hand of appointment. Send your ministering angels around all the properties. Surround them, keeping guard over them, applying your blood over them in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that we can call the scripture Ezekiel 19 verse 10. Father, that the hardened hearts will be softened up. And that scripture is so beautiful. You take the stony heart out of their flesh and you replace it with a fleshly heart responsive to the touch of God. As you touch the people right now, Lord, they will become responsive. So I want to invite those to come to the Lord. I want to invite those to bow their knees, to put their hands up in the air and say, Lord, I just need you. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for a touch of the Holy Spirit, because in the Spirit there's no distance. So I stretch out my hand to each and every one right now, and I pray the Shekinah glory of Jesus Christ, that Jesus will enter your house. He will enter your room. He will sit next to you on your bed. He will come sit next to you on the sofa. He will just be with you there in the office where you sit and listen to this radio playing in the background. Father, change the atmosphere. Father, you are the giver of dreams and visions. I pray that that will open up. Visions and dreams will open up, Lord, but the truth of Jesus Christ will start setting people free. As we stretch our hands out to you and you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receive the redemption of Jesus Christ, receive the purity. I speak to the bride. I speak to the bride of Christ. Be pure, be holy. Turn around from the deliberate sin. Turn around from the wrong things. Turn around from sinful things. We strip the enemy in Jesus' name of his mandate over your life. And we call out in Jesus' mighty name that his resurrected blood, the blood of Jesus, will testify on your behalf. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray. Father, I pray for Martha. I pray that you will just, I pray that Martha has a broken leg and she's struggling and she's in a place of despair and she felt this neglected and she's got no help. I pray that you will send help from heaven, Lord. Psalm 20. I decree and declare Psalm 20 over Martha, Lord, with a broken leg. And I pray, Lord, that you will send help from heaven. And I thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit just increasing right now where we're sitting here, Father. It is increasing. I thank you, Lord, for opening up heavens above us. And as the skies are breaking open above us and your prophetic word comes, it flows like honey, it flows like oil, liquid oil. It just comes and we acknowledge it and we see it. And I thank you, Lord, that you're blessing Dimitri right now, Lord, with the word. And I thank you that you're calling him out, Lord, with a vision and a purpose. And I just sense that God is saying that the road that you had walked on the past 7.5 years, the gravel road, the journey is ending. Dimitri, the journey is ending. The gravel road journey for 7.5 years is ending. And God says something beautiful is going to come forth of this journey that just passed. And it's over, and there's a decree, and there's a deliverance in the journey. And God says he's opening up your spiritual eyes that you can see the illuminating light of the gospel of Jesus, but also the scriptures in Ephesians 1 verse 17, 18 and 19, that you will see the illuminating light of the gospel to know the calling what God has called you for. You were in like wingman for many years, but now you will move to the front. You were at the back of the curtain and you were always just seeing from heaven of a vision from at the back of a curtain, but God says he's ripping open the curtain. He's taking you out of being a wingman and he's pushing you to the front because there's a mandate, there's a calling. And God says your voice will go over the waters. Your voice will be carrying over the waters and you will impact thousands of people. But God says your mandate, it is where the leaders is. It's the level where you will impact the lives of leaders. You are the eagle flying very high, but you withdraw so often to the secluded places in the mountains, and that became your place of safety. And God says, I'm drawing you out of those places of safety in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.
I just also want to just give anybody an opportunity out there who wants to give Jesus or make Jesus Lord of your life. Just pray after me. Father God, today I surrender my life to you. I want to make you Lord and God over my life. Father, I pray that you will just come and fill me with your Spirit today. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean with your blood, Father. Thank you, Father, that I now belong to you, Lord. Thank you that you are Lord and God over my life. And I commit my life to you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, Zoe, for being here and blessing us today. It's so nice to have you in the studio.
Thank you, Lana. It was absolutely an amazing privilege. Oh,
thank you so much. And yes, that's the end of this program, sadly. But so thank you for joining me on Body Matters, where everybody in the body of Christ matters. And we will be meeting again next Saturday, same time, same frequency, with more great conversation from me, Alana Uli, for you. Goodbye and stay blessed.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit on 729 AM. Visit us on www.kpulpit.co.za.